I'm just going to get comfortable here, and we're going to keep it casual, as always. You're going to hear me crack my muscles. You're going to hear me stretch. Reach for my tea. Take deep breaths. And to talk a little bit about ourselves and about music. That was a flute made out of Purple Heart by a friend whose name is Michael. I believe you say his name is Wakerly, W-A-K-E-R-L-E, at dreamwiththewoodsflutes.com. And I really, really like this flute, and it's one of a kind, and really likes to hold the notes well, and I believe it's a C sharp, and these are fairly easy to play as far as flutes go, because they everything is more compact, and you don't have to stretch your fingers or and your breaths go further as well. And I've used this flute on a few songs. I'm blanking out right now. From the Love Warriors, because it had a unique sound from the other flutes that I had. I think it was one of my first, it's my second high note flute, and which can take the music into, you know, different realms. Of course, right? As once you introduce anything unique into that what you're doing, you're going to be changing the outcome in some way. So here we are before the November 11th gate, and the show actually is going to end, because it runs from 10 to 11 Central Standard Time, so it actually ends November 11th at 11, and so that's kind of fun. And they say that it's going to open up all sorts of, well, they say heaven is essentially going to be coming to earth, more so than, you know, our current belief, which is that, you know, we're to go over there. Now, basically, things on the planet are really have drawn the attention of the entire creation. And so heaven is coming here. They're going to be like revealing themselves to us through, you know, who I like to call our space family. And I'm sensing, you know, at a personal, energetic level, that this time is getting very close. And I'm noticing there's been amazing shifts in energy from, you know, in myself and people around me as well. And it seems like, you know, truth is coming, you know, at people hard and fast, and it staring them squarely in the face. And we know what that feels like. And then watching what happens as a result of that. So lots of people around us are making like major life changes is one example of that. Other people are, you know, are coming to terms rather with, you know, the chaos where their lives have been. And it seems like everybody is, you know, really sensing that that there are changes, but not really perhaps knowing what the changes are, or where, you know, where it's all going. you know, because I was mentioning to a friend of mine on the phone the other day that another friend and myself, about, you know, 2 years ago, we were thinking, you know, like the world is, looks like it's going so completely mad that we're going to have to, you know, go to the local seed supply store and stock up on, you know, seeds and, you know, run out into the bush somewhere and just, you know, like, to survive. And I'm sure, you know, and that was our, you know, that was our fear-based response and where we were at. And you know, it's a great feeling to know that we can, you know, progress quickly through that as well. With thought and attention. And I'm just going to grab some tea. If you hear things in the background, one of my neighbors across the street is building a house, and so there's been lots of activity out there. We also just got snow here as well in our area, in Saskatchewan, Canada, city of Saskatoon. So if you're like me and you do a lot of internet reading, and I do a lot, and I'm it really replaced my previous sources of information, which was television and the papers, and I decided that I was going to it left me like feeling, you know, like, why am I doing this? And I started to think about all the papers that I read, and realized, you know, I'm not even like retaining a lot of this. And I know on some level it's something is seeping into me, but what is it? And which becomes like the question I ask myself a lot, you know, is, okay, what's that about? Okay, what does this mean? And moving, of course, closer to truth, which for me means moving towards more of an effortless way of achieving the life that you want. So I find that very attractive to me, and it meant, for me, I needed to experience that on at a personal level if I was going to manifest it in my own life. So that's what I started to move away from the media. And even, you know, I gotta even add radio in there too, because I, you know, as a person, I had menial tasks and other jobs and responsibilities that I was, you know, that was my employment when I was younger. And I listened to a lot of radio, you know, as a, you know, for example, as a house painter. I mean, I wouldn't hardly ever do my job if there wasn't music in the background. For me, it just didn't seem like it was, it was just not necessary to live that way. So I always had the music or the radio, and I started to kind of realize that, you know, this radio stuff is really going slow. And there was like no progression in anything. And it seemed to really like it was like stagnant energy. Like, okay, like the system designed the genres, like, you know, FM light, or, you know, hits from the 70s. And they literally, like, stay there and keep you there, like, until you leave the planet, unless you turn them off.
So I started to realize that the, you know, if I became like loyal to some sort of like
genre or like a magazine or a you know, favorite television show or a favorite, you know, a favorite anything, a favorite artist, that it would kind of starts to stagnate, you know, and then, you know, Duran Duran is an example of that for me, because I used to be a huge Duran Duran fan, and, you know, I was like clinging on to, you know, some of those other albums where they weren't, you know, where I didn't resonate with them, you know, as much with what they were doing, right? And this is kind of to talk about, you know, not connecting with an artist's material. And so I wasn't connecting with their material. And I was like, you know, to their credit, they were trying new things, right? And so they were, I can't really say that they were stagnating, but for me it was like I wasn't connecting with where they were heading. So we, so I started to realize that there was all these genres, okay, back to the genre topic, and I was like, this isn't like, you know, if I could see myself in wherever that was, I was like, well, I mean, do I put myself in, like, for example, the regional section of the CD store? And so, then I, you know, which kind of makes sense, right? And you think, okay, you know, he's a local guy, and, you know, and this is where they put the local people. And then, so you start to think about it, and you go, okay, well, that's cool, and, you know, glad there's a place for me, you know, because I, you know, I have an address. And so I guess that means that I have always a, you know, a place to go, you know, to have my material in at the CD stores. And then I started to ponder this, and I would go, okay, well, what is it, the fact that I live on, you know, at this avenue have to do with the fact that this artist lives at that street, or this group, you know, practices on that crescent, you know? So I started to see, okay, you know, like, how if we chose to approach, you know, how we collectively gather musically, then can we not look at ourselves beyond the categories that are placed before us? And I think that artists, we can use our art to reflect, you know, that as much as we appreciate, you know, where everybody's at, and we've all benefited from that and learned from that, that things are getting a little stagnant in the musical realms. Excuse me. I'm noticing that there seems to be like an interest from, you know, from people at where they seem to connect more with some of the spoken word things, which can mean anything, you know. It's the limiting language, because, you know, spoken word, yes, for, you know, this verse, and then if you're singing it for the next verses and doing a chant in the background, at what point is it spoken word, right? So it's, you know, we're all kind of like forging a new way to describe who we are, which is very exciting. And I really, really like, you know, discovering who I am. And that part is, you know, I really, really believe that's where people's source of adventures lie. Because relating to posting that I put on the internet about leading an adventurous life, that nobody can place, you know, it's not a matter of having the right choices placed before you. I mean, that's not going to give you adventure. So for all these people that work so hard, you know, striving to have like adventures, to break up the mundaneness of what their employment might be, is that they want adventure, and so they maybe buy this type of a motorcycle or this type of a vacation, you know, make it hot and make it exciting, where there are, you know, lots of singles dancing and lots of alcohol, and you know what happens when that mixes, when you're you know, at a tropical place on a near the ocean. So they having like flashbacks here. But I'm not there. I mean, I had experienced all that, and I've come to the conclusion, having experienced that, and really, you know, really appreciating it and enjoying it all, and then also experiencing and appreciating my mind and my sense of like self and spirit and soul, and having all of those type of experiences, and comparing the two, I'm not going to weigh the pros and cons like here, but I'm here, right? And so I at this moment when you're listening to me, I've made the choice to be here and not to be there. And I've pondered that a lot, because Saskatoon winters can be very cold, and I've wondered why I'm, you know, how do I get through them keeping it all positive. And to not let, you know, there's a thing that we call around here, which is called cabin fever, which is like just feeling a general sense of restlessness when you're cooped up too long due to the weather. Well, I mean, that's what you that's your limitation, because other people go out, doesn't matter how cold it is. So that was, but this is my limitation as well, is that I was less likely to find like recreation like at minus 35 outside. And so I was looking for ways to, excuse me, just stretching, which I just really do a lot of. I'm always stretching. Yeah, it's actually like a part of my day, which you know, I do no matter where I'm at. If I'm at a coffee shop or, you know, at the grocery store, you know, I just might, you know, grab my leg and, you know, stretch my legs. Or I sit in lotus position at the coffee shop, or, you know, I did that a lot when I was teaching business. And it was just the most comfortable place for me to put my legs. And I don't know, nobody ever commented on it, which doesn't matter anyways, because it was, you know, I was just being myself. So, the whole concept of earlier we were talking about adventurous life is about, you know, being interested in yourself which is the, you know, the offerings placed before you are certainly, you know, possibilities that could be, you know, more you. And certainly I can easily be, you know, I can appreciate, you know, the call of beautiful tropical places. And I've often thought about, you know, I could be recording there as well. And but it may all be totally perfect. And there wouldn't even be anything, you know, unattractive about the whole consideration. You know, but for whatever reason I'm here, you know, and I feel comfortable that I want to be someplace. And so that gives me a lot of peace too. Even if it's, you know, it's not like a, you know, private tropical lagoon with a recording studio right along the beach and a gourmet kitchen somewhere in the vicinity that was all, like, you know, of course, affordable and gave me a good return for my Canadian dollar, because that's still how I think. So I've come to the conclusion I'm very happy to have a place that I can call home. We know that there are a lot of people in the world that are displaced. And I think about that, and I think that I used to think, you know, like, okay, how close, you know, is this coming? Well, it's already here, you know. I mean, now we're seeing the riots in Paris, in France, and, you know, all of France, places like Dijon. And which, you know, people don't realize Dijon is, you know, someone's home. Some people just think, well, that's just like a mustard, isn't it? You know. And I really, really appreciate good mustard. You know, going vegetarian, it's one of the... you know, does that well? I mean, I still use it with my bison. And so, when I say going vegetarian, it doesn't mean like being vegetarian, because I eat lots and lots of vegetables and bison, and I'm still eating some shrimp. But I have not eaten like chicken in a long time. And, you know, as a very, very general rule, you know, because if I happen to, like, you know, from circumstances, have it before me, like, you know, and my choices for, like, nourishment are, like, really limiting, and I would have to, like, you know, take some sort of more extreme example than what I thought the situation allowed, then I would eat a little bit of, you know, like, if, you know, for example, like, need a vegetarian pizza, they do put, like, beef in the sauce in most places here. So, I mean, when you're eating vegetarian, they may be putting meat products in the dough. I mean, you don't know. And then, you know, the whole thing can be, like, filled with preservatives and extenders, dough conditioners, softeners, that's what they are calling these things. And so it's just like, so anyways, back to the going vegetarian. And I really, really do like my vegetables, and I'm still eating bison. And I really am thankful that in my mind, that these animals are seem to be treated, you know, humanely as possible. And I've met, you know, I've talked to a few ranchers about, you know, that I just really appreciate them. You know, that they seem to, you know, like have a real appreciation for what they do and a respect for the animals. And so I'm not too sure about the shrimp though, because I'm not so, you know, unless there are shrimp ranchers that are like really loving about shrimp, I'm sure they're not given I'm not sure how respectful their lives are as shrimp. And so that's, you know, that's where I'm at though. I'm still eating them, and you know, thinking about what it means. I guess the next step for me would be to look and see if some of these shrimp people are being sensitive to the shrimp's lives, so that then I can decide from that point whether I'm going to continue to eat shrimp. Which is why if you're really loving shrimp, then it's not necessarily something you're wanting to do, which is to go look for information that will take away your enjoyment of it. So I think deep down I understand why there are lots of people out there that avoid information and the search for knowledge, while others love it and find it a source of empowerment and adventure. Because it's fun to have adventures. I certainly think that we're all gonna have more adventures than we know, you know, than we can barely comprehend. It's gonna challenge our challenging your reality is really challenging your ability. You're challenging the boundaries, right, by which you comprehend things. And so it's like a sense of displacement is what you're going to be feeling. And if you're feeling that, that's because our reality is expanding. And we're experiencing that, as you see me right now. Well, if you could see me right now, I've got my leg. I mean, I grabbed onto my leg, and I'm just giving myself a good stretch. Because we're experiencing this process through our bodies. And if your body is not in good shape, then it's going to, you know, shake, rattle, and roll your world. So that's why I feel compelled to indulge myself whenever I feel I need to stretch. Because this body needs to be maintained. And it wants to rebuild. I mean, I want it rebuilt. And so that means you have to answer all of each and every, of as many of the bodily, calls for attention, which is I think a sense of stiffness is the language that your body uses to communicate with you. And so when a person is feeling stiff and they think, well, I gotta deal with this and put some ointment on it. Treat your, you know, aching sore muscles. And which is like, you know, you're telling your body that you don't have time for its for the language. You know, it's talking to you, but you're like, no, I can't. I'm not going to listen to you. And right now my body's telling me it's thirsty. And my throat is getting a little hoarse. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a little break? And I'll maybe have a bite to eat and do a few things. Gonna put my moccasins back on. And we'll see you in a moment. You're listening to Planet Radio. I'm Indian in the Machine on BBS Radio.
Where am I going to sit?
You can sit wherever you want, and I'll arrange the mic where you want to go.
Just a word of caution over here
is that it does make a lot more noise. So you're welcome to sit there.
Oh, no, I'll go over here then.
Oh, okay. I'll let me move this.
Is it okay like that?
That's perfect. Now, this is a little shaky, right, because it's done the drum. But I'm going to put it close to you as possible, because last time we could have got your voice a little bit louder last time. So we'll try this time. So it's fairly sensitive. So if you're talking like about here, that's perfect.
Oh, okay.
So even a little closer. I'll move
it. Okay.
I think I should let her out.
Okay, yeah.
Because
she always wants to be in the show.
Because you're in her chair.
Oh, that's why. I'm in the chair. Get the hell out of my chair. Who the hell are you?
Poor thing, she ended up outside after all.
Yeah. Did you find us like that?
Yeah, it was found out at Cranberry.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is neat.
Okay, so we're back, and in more ways than one, because we've got a guest, and Nightshade is back. and as I mentioned earlier, that there was going to be a little bit of tickling going on. And I've just come back from the therapeutic treatment, and we're gonna spend a few minutes talking with Nightshade about that. And I had a very pleasant experience with it, and I first described it as being like it was very peace inducing. And Nightshade, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about what this tickling therapy is all about, and your thoughts on where it has a lot of potential for as a viable treatment for people connecting with their bodies.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know as a kid I really enjoyed tickling. Did it with my cousins and my sister and that. And I remember as a kid always wanting to make a machine or something to tickle me, because humans get tired, and and so anyways, that's kind of as far as that idea went. And then I think 5 years ago or something, I woke up one morning and I was like, hey, you know, like, why not tickle someone? Why not? because I like it so much and I'm very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so I made some tools that just intuitively came to me and started trying it out on friends and family and getting feedback from people. And so far the feedback's been great. And not too long ago I also heard that, or saw it on TV or read it somewhere, that people lack touch. We don't touch like we used to. And I'm not talking sexually, I'm just talking about contact.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably people out there that would appreciate having someone touch them, but not in a sexual way. And so, yeah. And I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, I mean, if I look back at, you know, someone, you know, like, let's say a male my age back in, you know, 4 or 5 generations ago, and what they'd be experiencing, there'd probably be a lot more like physicalness with the community, you know, now, whereas now it's a little bit, I mean, we're not exactly dancing with each other around a fire these days, right?
Right.
Or joining hands or walking arm in arm which they do even today in other cultures, mm-hmm. you know, where you'll have like two best friends will be walking, they'll be male or female, or but particularly the males, like in, you know, the Middle Eastern areas, they'll be walking like hand in hand, you know, and if you would do that here, you'd have rocks thrown at you.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, it's sad. Well, and same with the elderly people too, like in old folks home where people don't touch them or people don't visit them anymore because they probably aren't very present, and you know, or people that are sick with cancer, or you know, and every time they get touched it's with needles, or you know, they probably don't want somebody to touch them, but if they could be touched in a caring way. And you know, my intentions when I'm with another person and, you know, providing the touch, it's very healing for me as well. And it's a gift. I receive a gift as well. It brings me very much into the present moment. And, yeah, I think I receive some sort of healing from it as well. Like, I don't know if it's actually healing for other people, if scientifically it has any healing that's actually happening, but if it helps a person feel better, feel good, then I think that sets up healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I didn't laugh as much as I think as some people might, because some people must laugh a lot more, and
oh yeah,
and they're pushing their buttons, which I think is a lot of fun for you.
It is. I hate torturing them. Yeah, I had one client, and he tickled almost, like, or not tickled, pardon me, he laughed almost the whole time. And I said to him, I said, look, like, do you want me to lighten up on this or whatever? Like, because to me that would just drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And but no, go ahead. No, I like it. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it's to withstand the sensation of wanting to, you know, laugh and jump out of your skin is almost like it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it is a challenge, and I think too it reminds people of their childhood. You know, your friends or family get you down and try and tickle you, and but that's what it kind of reminds me of. Because, I mean, how many adults are going up and trying to tickle each other? I mean, I don't see that very often.
Right.
Not with my group of friends, anyways. Maybe yours.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, I would say mine probably sometimes. Yeah. So you see, does this have any, like more potential than what you're seeing? Like, are you seeing, like...
I think it does. The research that I've done, I haven't really found anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's potential for it. And I actually think the movie stars would get off on it. Like, I think they would really like it. And mm-hmm. I could totally see myself doing that for them.
Sure.
I mean, they could have their own private tools that are designed just for them, or you know, whatever, and do it for them in a very respectful, private way.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I could see that. Like, I think that would be so much fun. Like, what a fun job to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. To touch another human being in a very caring way, and yeah, I mean, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be, I mean, this could be like a field of like treatment, like in other planets, because it does reconnect with skin sensations, mm-hmm. and which also it's like very real, you know, it's very like calming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was feeling like I was wanting to laugh, I was also feeling that I was like, it wasn't the same as like, you know, like an aggressive tickle, like from, you know, someone who's wanting to like torture you.
Right.
So I had a feeling that, you know, it was like, the laugh is an appropriate response, and also is,
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to thank you for the treatment and for bringing another new experience for me. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And it was like lots of it was fun. It was
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we're at the end of the show, and we're also at the end, at the beginning of the November 11th, 11/11 gate, because the show airs on Friday, and we're we're recording this just the day before. So when this is going to be aired on the show, we're right at 11 o'clock, or there, or close to, on November 11th. And so that's a pretty cool sign. And they're telling us that it's a major milestone for the planet. And we should all give ourselves a pat on the back for sticking it through and for being here and for continuing to be our unique selves and to shine our light in our communities in unique ways. And that's why I like being Ron Nightshade. And so we'll say goodbye to everybody, and have a nice evening, and God bless.
Bye. Yeah, God bless. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.